Welcome. This is Jenny Ray, an independent consultant with the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team. Our team provides education, resources, and networking opportunities for military family service professionals and extension educators as they help military families build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. We invite you to engage with us and your colleagues in conversations on military life cycle issues. In this Let's Talk Transitions podcast, I'll be chatting with two child development experts, Drs. Hope Gurdy and Gail Luz. Both experts are well-versed on the topic of home-to-school or school-to-school transitions for children and how these transitions affect children's social, emotional, and cognitive development. As part of our conversation, we will focus particularly on how these transitions influence military children's development. Welcome, Drs. Gail Luz and Hope Gurdy. Thank you both so much for being here today. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. If you could, just share a little bit with the listeners about your personal and your professional background. And we're just going to go ahead and start with you, Gail, if that's all right.
So I'm currently a faculty member in Human Development and Family Studies at Iowa State University. I teach classes mostly focused on early childhood education. And my research and teaching interests focus on supporting children who either have identified developmental delays or who are at risk for developing delays, and specifically children who have behavioral needs. I'm interested overall in developing and evaluating effective interventions for children and families, and also interventions that take place in their childcare or classroom school settings. Past, I have been an in-home family counselor with working with families where there was a risk of child abuse. I have also worked as a school psychologist with children from birth through age 21. So I learned a lot about early childhood education and special education from that career. And I, of all the children that I worked with, I found the youngest ones to be the most interesting. And so that's why I went on to get a PhD in early childhood special education and have worked in that area since then.
Great. Thank you so much. So Hope, let's go ahead and introduce yourself.
Great. My name is Hope Gurdy. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm looking forward to sharing. I'm currently a faculty member at Michigan State University in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies. My work focuses on children's language and literacy development, particularly early writing, and identifying best practices for promoting language and literacy skills within classrooms, particularly for those who are at risk due to environmental factors like living in poverty. In addition, my work focuses on enhancing children's language and literacy through quality professional development for early childhood educators. And much of that work is done using remote technology so that we can reach those folks who are already in place and break down barriers to high quality teacher early childhood education. My master's and PhD are from Purdue University. And prior to my life in academia, I started this career as a preschool teacher in various classrooms and just love working with young children, their families, and particularly those who are at risk for various background characteristics.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I love the idea of the remote work that you're doing. All right. Well, thank you both so much for sharing. Let's talk a little bit about transitions for military children and their families. So those transitions that are home to school transitions where families are transitioning their younger children from their homes into formal schooling, and also the transitions of school to school transitions. So when those families are doing the permanent change of duty stations, they're moving from city to city or state to state or even across the country. So what are some of the important transitions that occur during early childhood? Gail, if you could answer that question.
Sure. Well, you already highlighted a number of important transitions that happen, and different children will react differently to the same type of transition. So one child might be very fine with starting a program, whether it's as an infant, a toddler, or a preschooler. So making that transition from being at home to being away from home in a school program, for part or most of the day. Other children will, they will find it very easy, and some will struggle. Other children might find the school-to-school transition a lot more difficult. They might have really enjoyed or been very comfortable in their first school placement, and whether their family has moved within the same city to a different school or across the country to a different state, they might struggle with those transitions. And so some children with a little support are okay with the transitions, and others need a lot more support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how have you seen some transitions affecting the children's social, emotional, and cognitive development?
So like all other activities that can happen, the transitions can be an opportunity for growth. The children might be able to meet other new friends, other caring adults, and experience new learning activities, or they can be difficult because the child is asked to make adjustments that are not comfortable for them at the time. So these can make children fearful, anxious, or very sad or depressed, especially if they're missing friends or routines from the situation that they have left. And so it can affect their social emotional development from this, either a temporary regression of skills or behaviors, such as if a child had been toilet trained, they might regress and have accidents again, or the child might start sucking a thumb that they had quit doing at an earlier age, or they might be very clingy to their parents, either throughout the day or when they're being dropped off at their school or childcare program. And so children will look for ways to be comforted when they're feeling fearful or anxious in these situations. So they might do some self-comfort, or they might look for the comfort from caring adults. It can include their parents very specifically, but it can also include other adults in their lives. And so adults should be looking for children giving them signals that they're feeling anxious, and then work with them to give them that extra support that they need. It's not babying them. It is giving them what they need at the time so that they feel safe and comfortable, and that they can then start to adjust to the new situation.
Yes, definitely. Those are great examples. What factors can make some of these transitions challenging, particularly for military connected children and their families? Asking you, Hope.
Sure, that's a great question. Particularly for military families, they often have a lot of transitions, and many of their transitions are big transitions. Moving from home to school or school to school, maybe visiting new cultures, new languages, new environments, new people. And this often means changes in routines, which can be really disruptive. Routines are really important, particularly for young children. Work by Susan Landry and her team has identified that predictability, familiarity with people, spaces, and routines really supports positive development. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics promotes consistency through family routines, because consistency really helps children feel safe, comfortable, confident, even in the face of change. So at just what Gail was saying, that this comfort, this safety is so, so important. And so routines can really help children know what to do in a situation that's really new, or know how others may interact with them, or what they at least can expect from others in a particular situation. And it's really important for families and teachers to help maintain as many routines as possible. I think sometimes as adults, when we're preparing for a move or a transition, we think, oh, let's just focus on the move and get it done quickly as possible. And sometimes, particularly, I think with a military background, we think, all right, here's our new mission. The mission is the transition. And that may be particularly disruptive and cause ample stress for young children. And so, in fact, really slowing down the process and maintaining those routines can promote a better move, a better adjustment in the long run. So making sure that we stop packing to eat dinner together or retain some family routines like movie night or game night. Mm. You may watch a shorter movie. You may play a shorter game. This might not be a time for Monopoly that goes for 3 hours. but then making sure that bedtime routine is really followed before adults might return to packing a little bit later, and using these same strategies upon arrival. You know, it may take a bit longer to unpack, but really reestablishing those family routines quickly can help everyone feel calmer in this kind of new unfamiliar place. In addition, we know that military families don't always have a lot of advanced warning, mm-hmm. but sharing, which can make the transition more challenging, right? But sharing early can be really beneficial to children. So research has identified that abrupt change is really stressful for children, particularly very young children. So talking to children as early as possible before the transition can really help, and walking them through all the steps, answering their questions over and over. They may have the same questions over and over, and it can be helpful. It may feel a little frustrating to families or teachers. You've said this over and over and over, but they want to hear again that it's not, that this new change is not changing, that the process will be the same. So they do want to hear that over and over. And maybe kind of a third thing is that we know military families move on average 3 times as frequently as non-military families. So almost developing routines around moving or transitions, these can almost become kind of traditions, can be really beneficial to children. So this might be watching a favorite movie or having a favorite meal the night before a move. So it's kind of, we know this is what's going to happen and here we're going. Or, you know, the same routine before we start school each year. This can be really helpful. Or Sunday night before Monday morning school. Oh, we know tomorrow's a school day. So this is our routine before we go into school the next day. This might be a tradition of everyone saying goodbye to their favorite people or places. It might be writing a family newsletter about the beginning of the school year and what I'm going to do at school, or the end of the school year and what I did at school, and sending that out. It might be via snail mail, or it might be to add the new address, or maybe on Facebook. And I think one of my favorite examples, I have a colleague who grew up in a military family, and every time they moved, the first thing they would do as a family is go to their new town and find the public library. They'd get library cards, they'd check out books. And I mean, these traditions can really strengthen the family unit, promote a sense of security in this new place. And to this day, this colleague who now has grandchildren, whenever she moves, goes and finds the public library in her new town. And she says it still calms her. So these kind of routines that become traditions can really set the stage for helping children to soothe and feel calm in the face of these challenges for a long time.
Wow, I really like those examples that you shared. And being a military spouse in a military family myself, I think I'll definitely be integrating those examples for my own family. I wonder, how do we help those children that are those really young ages? You guys were saying, obviously prepare them in advance. And I think, I don't know if you have any other examples that you wanted to share, Gail.
Well, I think I want to just continue on with what Hope was saying.
Yeah.
Because for young children especially, it's all about the relationships.
Okay.
They will be comfortable with a change if the people around them, their parents, their other family members, are comfortable with the change. So building and maintaining strong family ties and doing routines like Hope was describing will make the child comfortable and will continue to build those relationships so that they feel that the comfort of the relationship, but that strong relationship also gives them the confidence to go out and try new things. So when they have to go to a new school, they'll feel more comfortable because they know they've got their wonderful family waiting for them. And if they have a routine, you know, dad picks them up every day after school and they do their routine and they ask the same questions at every new school. So that they know there's something to look forward to, and this is the cool thing that we have that we share.
I like those ideas. Hope, do you have any other ones that you wanted to share?
Let's see. Another idea is, kind of bridging from what Gail mentioned, if dad always picks up the child in the current location or at this current school, let's try to maintain those things as much as we possibly can in the new place. Of course, there's going to be changes. And for military families, it may be that dad or mom are now deployed. Mm-hmm. So they're not specifically in the home every day. But thinking about if they were picked up and dropped off at school in one place, have them be picked up and dropped off at the school in a new place, at least at the beginning, until they want to transition to a bus or transition to a carpool of some kind. But at least initially in transitions, try to keep things as similar as possible from the previous location. That can really help them feel safe and secure. And again, maintaining that routine when at all possible. Of course, we know changes and emergencies pop up and a new person has to pick someone up, but then recognizing the child may have a difficult time with that. Mm-hmm. And not to blame the child for that, but to recognize that this might be a teary departure because I'm a new person. Yeah. And that's okay. Help them to feel as safe as possible, explain the situation, and hopefully that new person can become a traditional person that picks up that child.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, I like how you shared the aspect that it might be a teary departure. we've definitely experienced some of those more than we wanted to. Gail, did you want to share something?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with what Hope had said earlier about repeating the same information over and over again. Children need that to know that, yes, we are moving in. Yes, these things will be happening. But also we need to make sure that we are listening, asking them questions and getting them to share with us. Because even though we think we're being clear, little children can misunderstand information and they might be making assumptions that are incorrect. And so we want to listen to them so that we can correct any misunderstandings that they have, but also so that they can feel heard. If they really don't want to make this transition right now, whether especially those big ones of moving school to school, we might not be able to say, okay, we won't move because you don't want to, but they can at least feel heard and know that we are listening to their concerns. And even though we can't change it, they're still being respected and heard, and that can make them feel valued and ease the transition just a little bit.
Well, that's such an important point. I mean, one of the great things about families is that they have this shared experience, right? And so one of the ways that I regularly think about not only promoting social emotional development, but also language development, is for families to really create opportunities for every member of the family to talk about the transition. So discuss what the transition means for each member of the family. Really important, talk about what will stay the same. Like, for example, we will always be a family, right? Even if this means that some parts of our family might live in another place right now, we will still always be a family and there will always be adults who love you. And then also what will be different, right? Oh, you will have a new teacher. Oh, you won't stay home with mom all day or with dad all day, but you will go to school. How great. And then creating space for children to talk about their feelings. And adults should talk about their feelings as well. It's okay to feel sad or feel fear, but it's also okay to feel excitement. And presenting the transition as an opportunity can help children to view it as an adventure, perhaps rather than a crisis. And these kind of open forum opportunities, one, support children to use their budding language. Even if it might be gestures, it might be questions, might be their new language, there's going to need to be discussions about what different emotions are and what they might be feeling. And really, as Gail pointed out, listening. What is happening? You know, children and even older children might say, oh, I'm fine. But then you're seeing lots of visual cues that may lead you to think they're not as fine as they're saying.
Right.
Can I just follow up for a moment?
Of course.
That a lot of teachers and caregivers really want to leap in and help solve problems. We get into the field because we want to help people out, children and their families. And so we often want to jump in and solve it for the child. Mm-hmm. Tell them, you know, don't be afraid. It's going to be fine. And sometimes we move too fast. And what we need to do is just sit back and listen to the child. Give them a chance to talk. We don't have to solve every problem. We can't solve every problem. And sometimes by not jumping in and trying to, we're giving the child space to say it's okay to feel what they're feeling.
Definitely. That is well said.
Really good point.
Yeah. I wonder, and this question can be both for both of you, but what if the child struggles with that language aspect, and and maybe it's more pertinent to your research and your work, Hope, but if there's other things you would like to share, Gail, too, that might be helpful.
Well, for children who are struggling with language, or even just those who are not yet communicating with a lot of words, or any words yet, so we have infants who are moving along with us in these transitions. We have toddlers who are just beginning to use language. Mm-hmm. And again, noting that they may be using gestures to try to let you know how they're feeling, what they're thinking about this. For infants, using our excellent discussion skills with infants, talking to them about what's happening, even though they're not necessarily talking back to you, but of where we're going, and this is what's happening, and you know what, we're going to live in a new space, and you're going to be in a but you will still have your crib at night, and you will still have your zebras and donkeys above your head floating around, and these toys will still be going with you, making sure that the things that typically soothe your children are still available to them. So for example, I know I've helped other families move, and making sure that the blankie and the teddy bear and their favorite books are the last things packed, mm-hmm. and they go in the bag with you, yes. in, either on the plane or in the vehicle. Those things are really, really important for them. But still having those conversations with them, even if they're not yet using language with you, it's really important for them to hear everything that's going to happen to them, and in detail.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I agree. I think it's hugely important. And also, if you're kind of stuck, you can't get the child to talk, or you don't know the words to use, there are a lot of really good commercially published books that you can get to read about transitions, whether it's moving from city to city or the first time you go to preschool. You can read those with children, and that can sometimes prompt them to ask their questions or to comment on how they're feeling if they can read or hear that another child has experienced something similar.
That's an excellent idea.
That actually reminded me of another really great strategy for both promoting positive adjustments within transitions and language and literacy skills. Involve children in learning about where they're going and what it will be like. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for military families, this may be a whole new country. There may be a new language that the folks are speaking, or maybe new foods that they could experience. And that is maybe true, even if you're traveling from city to city within the same state. There will be new experiences. So this process of learning about the new place can help children feel calmer about it, can help them be more excited about it. It helps the new place feel more familiar when you actually arrive. And it's a way to develop positive feelings about the new location. So again, reading about the transition, but also reading about the new place where you will be, showing pictures of the new place. Often, a really great thing to do is ask the teacher of the school you'll be going to or of the classroom they'll be transitioning into, go and see it. Have them send some pictures, both of the teacher, of the classroom, maybe some of the children if it's a transition in the middle of the school year. Learn about what the people there are like, what languages they speak, what music they like. Look at maps of the new location. Is it near the ocean? Is it by a big city? Is it near a forest? Look up the weather or the time in the new place, and this can all help children feel a little more adjusted or a little more familiar with their new space. And I really urge teachers, if they know they're getting new students, reach out to those families. Families have so many things that they're doing during a transition. Reach out to those families, send them pictures. I've supported children in my classroom to write letters to the new children, telling them about the school, telling them about their favorite things about school. These can be all really meaningful opportunities for both the children in the classroom and the new children coming into the classroom or coming into the school.
Wow. Yeah, I love those ideas. It'd be very helpful.
Those are really good suggestions. I know for our school here on campus, we had a child coming who was really nervous. And so we put together a little book that just was pictures of the school, the classroom, and the things that the child would be using so that they would feel more comfortable when they got here.
That is awesome. It's very thoughtful.
That's great. Great. And that's what for older children, you know, as parents move them from school to school or from classroom to classroom, they'll often have, you know, they'll have their school records, their test scores, their assessments at various levels. And so it's really important to remember that early childhood teachers have these things as well. They may have pictures of what the child has done during the year that could go right into the kindergarten or right into the first grade classroom whenever they move. And in addition, these can be really helpful for children as a way to celebrate where they came from and to show others about what they did in the past. So if they have a nice booklet of pictures from their school and their friends they had at their previous location, then that is a starting place for them to talk to new people at their new school and say, oh, I used to do this. I used to really like playing in the blocks. I still like playing in the blocks. Do you have blocks like this at your school? And can be a nice conversation starter.
Definitely. I like that idea. I think that those would be helpful, and specifically for the teachers and the families involved, kind of everybody there. So one of the questions, I know we've shared a lot of strategies, but I don't know if there's any approaches that would be helpful specifically for professionals that are working with military families that they could share with families. Maybe we could talk about the resources that are available that professionals could share with these families. What are you guys' thoughts?
So I, in preparing for this and the webinar, I went to Military OneSource, and they have some helpful information for both teachers and families, and so they could check that out.
Sure.
And then there are other sources for professionals that they can use with military families and any other family. I think it's just, as Hope mentioned, particularly pertinent to military families because they move more often generally than other families do.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple that I highlighted when I was thinking about this was there's an organization called 0 to 3, and it focuses on serving children and families between the ages of 0 and 3. And they have a lot of good information that is really helpful for younger children. So the information is for families as well as professionals. And so teachers could check that out and see what is there. Focusing on my interest on children's behavior and social emotional development, there is a group that goes by the initials of CEFL. So it's the Center for Social Emotional Foundations of Early Learning. And it spells out C-S-E-F-E-L.
Perfect.
And they have a lot of good resources on their website. They have practical strategies. They have books related to a variety of behavioral situations and ideas that teachers can use to teach children about how to cope with those. So activities that go beyond just reading a book, and then how to make their own books that address a specific social skill or need that a child has. And related to CEFL, the group has continued on with a new website called the National Center for Pyramid Model Innovations. And they have similar resources and then some updated resources that really focus on children's social, emotional, and behavioral development. They have a lot that focus on visual supports. So during daily transitions or bigger transitions, if children need some supports and they can't read, and so they talk about how we can use visual supports with them, because as Hope was mentioning, families are very busy and they might be spending time making lists about what they have to do and learning where they have to go and do things, new things, how to find the grocery store. Children can't read, but we can give them a visual schedule or a visual set of activities that they need to do before they can do the fun one, so that they have some way of keeping track. Because if we just tell them, they hear it once and then it's gone, but they can look at those pictures over and over again.
Yeah, I like that idea. So kind of creating maybe not necessarily a photo book, but maybe like some sort of laminated poster or something that hangs on the wall or something of that sort?
Yes. Okay. It can be a poster that hangs on the wall. It can be in a little three-ring binder.
Okay.
They can glue drawings or pictures or photographs to a piece of paper, and that the children can follow that day after day.
Okay. Great idea. I like that strategy. Hope, do you have any resources for professionals that might be helpful to share with families as they transition?
Well, so some great resources for specifically for military families within to promote positive transitions. We have the Department of Defense Education Activity website. There's a lot of resources there that can promote families of children of various ages. Certainly the military one source. They have a specific place for military children changing schools. And then for young children in particular, Military Child Education Coalition and Military Child Care Programs both have sites about transitioning children from home to school through school transitions and from child care to public school. Various situations like that. So I found those sources to be really, really meaningful, both for practitioners and families. And they do cover a range of children and families.
Great. Thank you for sharing those. So you both have shared some awesome strategies, and I think a lot of them can apply to all professionals, teachers, caregivers, parents, everyone involved as these military-specific families transition. You've also shared lots of great resources. I wonder if there's any final thoughts that you might have or might want to share with our listeners as take-home messages specifically related for these transition-related challenges or unique transition experiences?
For me, I think it's all about relationships. That is the key thing to help children with transitions, whether it's daily transitions or moving from state to state to a new country. When children have positive relationships within their family and with the teachers and caregivers that they see every day, they're much more likely to do well with transitions. And so it takes a lot of work to build these and to maintain them, but it is completely worth it. And if the other thing is that if adults are struggling with a child who's having difficulties with transitions, they should ask for help. It is okay for families to ask for help, for teachers to ask for help, because sometimes children are struggling in ways that we just haven't experienced before. And if we get help to help that child, then we'll all be doing better.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
No, it's a sign that you are willing to put yourself out there and make sure that everybody is being successful.
Definitely. And that's why there's experts in the field for those specific areas. So just like you guys.
Well, Gail, really excellent points. Those are probably the top two take homes, I would say. If I can add two more humble cents to the end of this. I know as caregivers, as teachers, as family members, the transitions can be stressful for us as well. And so it's really important for us to think about the behavior that we're modeling, and we want to model the behavior that we want to see. So that doesn't mean that everything's always positive, but it means that we're talking about our ideas, we're talking about the strategies, we're talking about the practices, we're talking about our behavior, we're talking about what's going to happen. And so if you want your child to introduce themselves, then you introduce yourself to the new teacher. If you want your child to be able to feel comfortable with people around you, take your child with you when you meet the new neighbors. Invite those people in. Have just daily conversations with folks. It's very helpful if the child sees you engaged in kind of positive social interactions and strategies for engaging and meeting this new place. The other kind of last thing that I might think is, again, and especially I think this for military families, they're often not given choice, right? It's like, okay, you're going to be sent here. You're going to be moving here. You're going to be deployed at this time. Here's when you come to work. Adults sometimes feel like we don't have choice, even though we have a lot of autonomy. Mm-hmm. Well, children really feel like they don't have choice. They're not choosing that they're moving. They're not choosing to leave their friends. So we know there's not always choice, but when there are choices, make sure to offer those. So for example, children may not be able to choose where they're moving, but they can choose what they're going to wear on their journey.
I love that.
So think about ways that that children can have autonomy and can have some choices whenever they're available. Only offer them when they are actual choices, though. That's really important.
Don't set yourself up for failure.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, I love all these ideas, and they're really hitting home for me personally. So I think they are really going to be great examples and a great conversation lead for our listeners as well. So thank you both so much for your time today and sharing all your expertise and all the examples too.
Thank you, Jennifer. You made it very easy.
Yes, thank you. It was so great to be here. And I just hope a little bit, maybe one little nugget can go away with each of your listeners, and each of them can help a transition move a little more smoothly in the future.
From all of us at the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions Team, we thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today, Hope and Gail. For those listening today, thank you for joining us. I encourage you to refer to the resources mentioned in this podcast on our website under the list entitled Additional Materials. We encourage our listeners to learn more about Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions and other resources available, including other podcasts, blogs, and free webinars at militaryfamilies.extension.org/family-transitions.
This production of the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award numbers 2015-48770-24368 and 2019-48770-30366.